Here's another thing, okay? If you've ever met someone who has served in the military, and there's another guy by him who hasn't, it's usually a really good bet not to pick a fight with the guy that was in the military. Okay? And because they've probably gone through a lot, they will kick your ass, so to speak. They have this look about them of, that's not the kind of guy you want to mess with. Your intuition will tell you that's not a good choice. If you want to screw around with someone, that's a bad one. Or someone who's got like a black belt karate and serious karate. It's probably not the best person that you want to mess with, because they will just look you over and then just pummel you. You know what I mean? Where someone else will push and shout, and you'll push them, and they'll push you, and it'll be one of these playground things. It'll be some play acting. What happens is the guy in the military, or the guy with the black belt, is a serious martial artist. They don't play act anymore. They're serious. You know what I mean? They won't start the fight typically, but they will certainly end it. And that comes through in their attitude. It just, they just look at them, and you can see that. Do people understand what I'm saying here on this call? Mm-hmm. You can just sense it. That's what you'll own now. If you had 100% commitment, you'll own that. You will be that. And with a 99% commitment, you won't. It's just that simple. And then you'll find an excuse. And you'll wiggle out. Just like that fish out of the net, you'll wiggle out of every success you've ever been handed in life, you'll wiggle out of it and end up with nothing. Because your just commitment is just not there. On the other hand, if you had that 100% unwavering commitment, you would literally control your own destiny. You would actually be master of your own universe. The universe will just line up and say, well, what do you want me to do next? And you will tell it, and it will do so. And a lot of this has been written up in a lot of different religions and philosophies. They all say the same thing here. It's all the same thing. Everybody's discovered this. Maybe you haven't discovered it yet, but a lot of other people have from a lot of different angles. I can give it to you from a quantum mechanics point of view or a philosophical point, a religious point of view, any which way you want. It all says the same thing. If you had the faith of a mustard seed and you said to the mountain to move, the mountain would move. You ever heard that one? Now, given E equals MC squared, how much uranium-238 would fit into a mustard seed, and what kind of an explosion would it make? You think that mountain would move with that much? I don't know. It's an interesting thing, right? You ever hear of zero-point energy?
Yes.
You can go into deep interstellar space and take 1 cubic centimeter of so-called vacuum. Nothing there. Nothing. There's enough energy in quantum fluctuations in that 1 cubic centimeter to boil all the world's oceans in less than a second. That's how much energy is there. It's particles coming in and out of existence, in and out of this dimension. They're quantum fluctuations. It's literally the underlying energy of the universe. And as soon as we tap into that energy, what do you think oil is going to be worth? Hundreds of thousands of years ago, one of our primitive ancestors was watching a lightning storm, thinking the gods were angry again, and what was he actually looking at?
Electricity,
right?
Right.
Did he understand what he was looking at? No. Did he know how it works or how to control it? No. Do we know how to do it now? Yes. Oh. Even millions of years before that, we were staring at what? The sun. What is the sun? Anybody want to tell me what the sun is?
Energy.
Yeah. That's about the same explanation I could have got out of the primitive ancestor a million years ago about that depth. No offense.
Conflicting theories on that. There's electricity, the universe electric, as well as fusion.
Okay, wow. All right. Okay, let me, here's what it is very simply. You can look it up on Wikipedia later. You're taking hydrogen, fusing it into helium. It's a continuous fusion, nuclear fusion process. The same thing as a H-bomb, where you ignite a uranium bomb to make high pressure, which forces hydrogen to fuse. Hydrogen is a one proton, one electron, and you're making it two protons. And two electrons, that's what helium is, except you're giving up some energy in the process. And that one modest star, which we call Sol, has been burning now for like 8 billion years. Earth has been for like 4.5 billion, coalesced. And it's putting out enough energy from 93 million miles away that if you put your face up there on a nice sunny day, it'll sunburn you in a minute. That's how much energy is coming off it. Just go out there, put your hand up sometime, feel it. 93 million miles away. How much do you think of the total energy output of the sun, considering the energy is going out spherically in all directions, how much is being intercepted by your hand? I actually did the math on this. I have it on the website. What I'm trying to say is that long before Einstein, nuclear power existed, correct?
Right.
Okay, before man evolved, before there was even an Earth. Matter of fact, it goes back about 14 billion years to the creation of the universe. So that's just one of the fundamental building blocks of having, you know, fusion reactions. All this simple hydrogen is just a one proton, one electron, so there's just lots of it. It was the simplest thing to make. All the rest of it took, like, high pressures to create. So matter in its simplest form would be hydrogen. That's why you see all the stars out there just kind of gravitationally pull towards each other and coalesce into an ignited, so-called, blah, 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 blah. Here's the point. Electricity has been there, nuclear power has been there, and zero-point energy is here. We just don't have the science to describe it yet. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Does everybody get my drift? There is no energy crisis. Now, these other things, when we kind of drift off into these phenomena in the mind and how the mind really works from a holographic model, holographic universe model, the brain is not what you thought it was, what you've been taught. It's completely different. And here's a way you can actually see for yourself how the universe works by having 100% commitment. You can literally, in effect, bend space and time around your will. You can actually create opportunity will kind of coalesce around you if you do that. The universe will now recognize you as a different kind of a force, and other things will start happening. And a lot of people have done this, and they felt some kind of a power behind them, and how did they do this, these extraordinary accomplishments, or become successful or not? And if you looked at what they were doing with their minds, they weren't accepting any alternative fate for themselves. They were demanding that they be movie stars or rock stars or scientists or very successful business owners, whatever it was. They just would not accept an alternative fate. And literally, science backs all this up. It's like all the universe is interconnected. It's called action at a distance. There's a lot of scientific basis for a lot of this, and the way you influence other people, and just the way you are perceived in general. I don't know. I'll get into more detail on this later, but I'm just trying to say that the fact of 100% commitment literally is a force of nature. Have you ever seen a tiger hunt? Anybody? Is a tiger 99% committed or 100%? A lot of times you'll see tigers go after something, and they'll change their mind. But when they decide they're going to go for it, they're going for it. You ever see a cheetah run? Take down a gazelle on television? Is that cheetah hedging? That cheetah was 100%. That cheetah was going. That cheetah was saying, this is life or death. I got to eat. He's expending a lot of his energy. He's got to get this gazelle. And I'm saying it's hard enough of a task, given how gazelles run. It was hard enough. It's not that easy to chase one of those guys down. If there was less than 100% there, that cheetah eventually would die out. It wouldn't have it. It would be dead. You'll see throughout baseball all the time 100% efforts all around you, because they're facing life or death when you're facing mere inconvenience. They're fighting life or death, so they got really good at 100% commitment to what they do. They have to do it. They have no choice. If you have no choice, you'll find a way. If you do have a choice, you'll find an excuse. And on that note, I will open up for some discussion or questions.
This is Steve.
Okay.
I've experienced this, and for me, it's got to be that toe type of deal, but I have literally put myself at risk to a point where I had no, it's called like burning the boats. I forgot there's an ancient story about an army that went over to another.
Cortez.
Body. What's that?
It was Cortez.
Okay. And when they got over there, they burnt the boats, and they were either going to win this thing or die fighting. There wasn't going back to the homeland. So I've always put myself in a position where, you know, I did burn the boats, and there was just no way to go back. Now, what I found out was when I've come up against an obstacle, that really, to me, is the opportunity that you're going to win. I've always experienced that. If I push myself through that obstacle, there's always the pot of gold on the other side. And I've seen that over and over and over and over in my life. And so that's the way I personally have handled putting together a goal, or whether it be starting a new business. It's just I've cut all ties to going back or having an alternative.
I appreciate that, Steve. And there's one thing I wanted to elucidate on this little experiment with the toe. Your conscious mind may realize that you're not going to cut off your toe. Let's say you're not really going to cut it off. But if you say it serious enough with emotion and visualize that toe coming off and how hard it's going to hurt, the searing pain, your subconscious mind is going to freak out. It doesn't understand anything but what it's told. It says, the brain is saying the toe is going to come off. It's going to start freaking out. It will actually, like, throw out alarm bells throughout that reverberate around the universe in a way, that something's got to happen or I'm going to lose this toe. So you can actually, like, visualize, it's kind of like a mind game that you can practice this commitment. I'm not asking, obviously, to chop off your toe with an axe. It's kind of like a mind game. You have to play act like you're absolutely going to do it. And I want you to imagine it in complete detail. I want you to swing the axe, watch the blood splatter on the wall. The toes are sitting there. You can see the bone. Just searing hot pain. You start freaking out. You start getting pale and in shock. What you're doing there is you're literally freaking out your subconscious. And you're telling it, look, I want to make a deal happen this week, or this is what's going to happen. You better figure out a way to make me a deal. And you're giving instructions to your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind is literally connected directly into the whole universe. It will literally put out signals in effect to make this happen. You have to visualize it in detail. You have to feel it. I mean, every aspect of it, you have to make it as real as possible. It's called visualization. There's been lots of books on visualization. I think my unique twist here is I don't think anybody's had you visualize chopping off your toe before. Am I correct in that respect?
Yeah.
But there's been a book called Creative Visualization by Gottwein, what's-her-face, really famous. Lots of books on visualization, which you can also do various techniques there. But what you're visualizing here is a 100% unwavering commitment. You're clearly defining your goal. I want to be successful at this job. Why? So I can provide for myself and my family. I believe in the product and the service. I think that a lot of people who aren't buying it right now, only because they don't know about it or because they're just overly skeptical or just busy and they need to do this. This is something that's good for their business. So my job is to get down on the phone. I want to answer. So when you leave a voicemail, your voicemail is way more convincing, because you're going to have this commitment in your voice. You're going to sound different. Hi, my name is Paul. I'm calling about this product I have. And I'll say, look, hi, my name is Paul. I have something you guys really need to see. Call me. Here's my number. You're going to have a different demeanor. You're going to be perceived as differently. Just like I said, you can look at a warrior and, like, see in his eyes that person, has been through the crucible. You're going to sound different because you're going to be different. You're not going to have to pretend you're different. You're actually going to restructure your own inner psyche. You visualize exactly what it is what you want. Then you visualize 100% commitment. You need to kind of meditate on this. This is simply all you're going to do with your heads is this. If I was 100% commitment, do or die, what would I be doing? Let's pretend I was 100% commitment. What would I do? What time would I get up? How would I be making my calls? What would I sound like on the phone? If someone started giving me bullshit excuses and stalls and other things like that, right? Or they were skeptical or something, how would I answer them? How would I sound? Now, you've heard a lot of that on these calls in the past, because a lot of your teammates and people you've watched, they know how to do this. They're sounding like that on the phone. That's why they're getting lots of deals. because they have to, right, Megan?
Right.
Sometimes, like I said, the best motivation is just not having any choice. Some of the great battles and wars were fought when someone's back was against the wall and they had no choice. It was to fight to the death or die. You know what I mean? That was it. They had no other choice. The Roman army basically was undefeated in battle for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. They would go in a battlefield, you see a plane spread out in front of them. And they'd have like a ring of hills behind. And what they do is they put their best archers on the hills behind the troops, not in front. And they have these crosses upside down. And they told the troops, they says, you will come back victorious or on your shield. And if you run, the archers are going to get you. We're going to crucify you. There's no escape. They only had one out. They had to win the battle. So guess how many battles they won. I'm just saying, when you'd be surprised at what's possible when you have to do it. Do you hear that one guy who was he was out hiking, climbing, and he got wedged in a rock and his arm was trapped in a rock? He couldn't get his arm free. And he was starved to death. And he took out a pocket knife and sawed his arm off. Put a tourniquet on and hiked out. That's how he got out. You guys hear about that one?
Yep.
Well, you know what? I that guy's beyond me. I could not imagine myself doing that. I'm not sure if you could. I mean, hardcore or not, I could not imagine having to carve off my own arm because I wasn't brought up in the wilds 500 years ago either. That's pretty extreme, okay? But then again, that's what was required of him to live. A lot of people would just sat there and died. And you're going to have to ask yourself, would you carve off your own arm with a knife to escape with your life? I mean, that guy was beyond 100% committed. I mean, there's someone with a life energy that was like beyond normal. It's an extreme case again, but that extreme case should prove to you one thing. It's a lot easier to do what he did than to get one deal this week now, isn't it? That's, you can meditate on that. Meditate on the fact that this guy cut off his own arm with a hand knife, and all you have to do is close a deal within the comfort of your desk. Close one deal this week. Does that make it easier for you? My first wife was a registered nurse, and I always had immense respect for her because she worked cardiac care, and then she worked psych, and she worked the burn unit at University of Michigan for a while. You know what they did with the third-degree burn patients? They had to take them, pump them full of morphine, and put them in a cold tank of water and take a wire brush and scrub the dead skin off them while they screamed. Then she was an oncology nurse with young kids, cancer, dying of cancer, young kids. And she used to come home, and I never, even my wildest imagination, could imagine complaining about my day in front of her, if you get my drift. So I flat didn't. Listening to her day put everything in total perspective how easy my life was. And I had problems too, like everybody else, right? Everybody's got problems, but in respect, the soldiers like in Iraq right now who are being blown up on the side of the road, what they're dealing with. And then there's you, okay? And these guys sometimes are getting rotated for another year and then another year, and they're, you know, yeah. Iraq is not a very comfortable place, by the way. It's probably like 120 degrees there right now. Dusty, dirty. People are shooting at you. Yeah, I'm going to complain about my day. So a lot of this respect, I think it's just a matter of putting things in perspective. Again, just put things in perspective. And then look at what you're trying to accomplish and why. And the commitment level, I think, should become pretty easy compared to those extreme examples I just gave you. Would you guys agree to that?
Yep.
There's been people who survived 80 days on a life raft with nothing. They were fishing and trying to capture rainwater and getting massive sunburn. I mean, rolling around in those waves and that hot sun on the water is reflecting all that light. I don't even like being out in those boats like for an hour. You know what I'm saying? And ocean waves. You ever see that, The Perfect Storm, the movie with the guy with fishing boats?
Yeah.
And there's these 100-foot waves, and they were literally going right through these, across these hurricanes and winter storms, and these guys are fishermen. That was a true story. And he kind of like went through his ways and way out there and decided to come back, and then they eventually died. But can you imagine even trying? Could you imagine being in a boat like that? I get seasick sometimes on a dock, just that little movement. I don't know what it is, you know. Anyway, I mean, I was saying that those guys, I mean, I watched Dirty Jobs on television, on Discovery Channel. Everybody watched Dirty Jobs. Nobody ever watched that, huh?
Don't do TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that show. They get very personable guys. Got a great personality. He used to be an opera singer. But that guy will, you know, you got to respect him. He's number one. He's in pretty physical good condition. But he'll do every job. He'll do any nastiest job. That was his deal, and his film crew will film him trying to do it. And he actually does them all. And these other people then, when he leaves, have to stay there and then do it the next day. He doesn't have to do that. There's a lot of people who have a lot of nasty-ass jobs out there. You know, like he said, so the rest of us can enjoy a civilized life. You know, someone has to clean the sewers out and do all these just really disgusting, hard. You know, you ever drive by a field, like I live in California, you see the, you know, the immigrants mostly from down south coming up here, and they're out there, you know, just 14-hour days in the fields picking asparagus and stuff. I mean, just awful work, man. You know what I mean? And so the way I look at it is like, the way I won't complain, because it's really, I feel almost like the universe is looking at me, you're complaining about what? Because maybe we could show a little bit different what to complain about. So I don't not only do I, you know, it forces me like everybody else not to complain, but it also looks, the commitment to the flip side is like the commitment to doing stuff. I mean, even if you're a little bit more uncomfortable or if you have to work a little harder or a little bit certain, it's actually quite easy to do this level of commitment versus almost any other commitment I could point out. I could point out many more difficult things, and I'm sure in a lot of your lives you've already done more difficult things. So maybe you just kind of have to reawaken a little bit of that warrior spirit within yourself and remind yourself why you're here. And then the other alternative, too, though, is what's plan B? If you don't commit to this job and you screw it up, what do you think is going to happen on your next job when you get that one? You're going to do what you got good at. What you got good at is quitting when things got hard. And as soon as that job gets hard, you're going to quit again. That's why I see all these resumes. 6 months, 9 months, 3 months, that's disgusting. 12 months. I know exactly what that person's going to do. That person's going to bail. Most of the time, like I said, is because they were just passed through life anyway. They don't understand what a challenge is. They say they want to make a lot of money. You give people an option to make a lot of money, but then you put a price tag on it and they won't pay. Oh, okay. So in other words, you want all the money, but you want it for free. I like that too. Where do I sign up for that? I like that one. If anybody wants to make a comment,
Oh, this is Catherine. I'd like to make a comment.
Sure.
As far as visualization, I think that that's a really important factor. I've had the chance to utilize visualization on a personal level. I had a cancer diagnosis when my kids were babies, and I visualized that they were not going to grow up without their mom. And you just sort of reawakened that in me by what you just said, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Catherine. I appreciate that, too, as well. And then you've already been through something a lot more difficult than this, right?
Yeah, and I did visualize my toe coming off, and it made me a little bit nauseous, so...
Well, that nausea... so, you know, no, that nausea exactly means you did it, number one, you did it right. It should make you feel nauseous. And that is exactly the seed you want to plant in your subconscious. All you need to do now is reinforce it. Do you want to feel like that again, but worse? That was just nausea at the idea of cutting the toe off. How about if the toe actually is being cut off and the bone splintering and the blood splattering and the veins are being severed, blood spurting out of with every heartbeat?
Yeah,
you want to make it look awful because it's an emotional impact, not the intellectual impact that counts here. It's the emotional gut feeling that's the power that connects with the subconscious. All the intellectual does not communicate to the subconscious. It doesn't see that. Only the conscious mind sees that. So the power is purely in the emotion, that gut feeling, your body, your somatic mind, in effect, is the one you're working with here. And Catherine, you connected with that. Then the women always have an easier way to connect to that. And I think biologically, it's because they were connected with their unborn babies, and they had this kind of body thought. I think it's easier for women in a lot of ways because of their role in life, their genetic predisposition. Men have to really work at this because men are usually disconnected from their bodies.
Well, Well, your specific description of the splattering and the bone was very helpful in getting me to that place.
Now, again, I'm not asking you to cut your toe off. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to play a role as an actor, going to have 100% commitment. I understand what it is. But you have to understand what you're trying to accomplish first. You have to make a decision. This is the job, yes or no. Is this product good for people, yes or no? Am I going to actually do it, yes or no? Okay, now I need 100% commitment. Now I'm going to cut my toe off, and you're going to do this whole role in your mind, and you're going to look at your toe. Matter of fact, oh, I forgot one piece. I'm glad I reminded. Not only do you make a red part on the board, but you actually color the toe red, too. I want you to dye one of your toes red. And you can work without your shoes if you'd like. And you can say goodbye to your toe. Say, hi, toe. Guess what happens Friday at 6 o'clock? And that toe is going to absolutely freak out because it's like you got millions and millions of live cells all combined to make up you, your body. And you, by the way, aren't even in your body. So, but the body that you're walking around in, so to speak, it's millions and millions and millions and untold millions of cells. They're all alive. They all have minds. They all interconnect. They all cooperate with each other. And that toe right now is friggin' going crazy. It's going, no. No. How the other toe? Take him. That toe is connected to everything else. It's communicating out everything else. And it goes out and it communicates to the universe. And like I said, zero-point energy, electricity, nuclear energy. There's a lot of things that you may not have the science for yet. Does not mean it's not real. It is extremely real. It's actually more real than a lot of science because a lot of science, they keep changing that from day to day. They thought they used to know what this meant. Now they all is completely different. You know, wait every 50 years, they rewrite all the science books again. Whereas this stuff is permanent. It doesn't change at all. There's been mystics throughout the year that can raise and lower their blood pressure and their body temperature. And, you know, you can have monks meditate in a cave for 4 weeks without food, freezing to death, and they're fine when they come out. They've had monks that will generate so much heat they can melt ice by just generating heat by sitting there. And on and on and on it goes. You guys have heard a lot of this stuff. This is just a simple example of the kind of energy which is there that you can harness. Anybody else have a comment?
I have a question, Paul. This is Alan Perry. How do you get there when you should have already cut off all your toes?
When you should have already cut them off?
Yep.
The only reality that can possibly exist is now. You prove to me that the past exists. Prove to me that everything wasn't created a second ago, exactly like it stands right now, including all your memories. You can't. Prove to me there's an existence 5 minutes from now. Prove it. Show it to me. Show me 5 minutes from now. You can't show me 5 minutes. Can you show me 5 minutes ago? You can't show me that time. That time is gone. Time's a weird thing. The only thing that exists is the now. So I don't care what you said you were going to do before. This is right now. So pretend, if we don't pretend, but the reality is that this is now and all we're looking at is going forward. Make your commitment now and go forward. The past has absolutely nothing to do with it. None. Everything I said is completely valid. I don't care if you tried it 50 times before. It's always valid. You just didn't have 100% commitment because you didn't visualize it or you weren't commit. I don't know. You have to decide. You have to make a decision if this is what you want to do. Well, I appreciate everybody attending the call. So, thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Paul.